we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, and we're thankful that you have tuned in today. So we want to invite you to our vintage service tomorrow. We're going through Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. We meet at 11 o'clock. Last week, I did go about 7 minutes over in the service, but I had only preached a couple of times over the previous 2 weeks, and so I was glad to get back into the pulpit, and so I had lots to share. But we want to thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to come out and join us tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 12, we'll be studying Isaiah 42. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be praying for miracles. We'd also like to invite you to our season of prayer we've got going on between now and Easter. Sanctuaries open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning this week at 6 a.m. So, you know, you've missed the Tuesday opportunity. But if you'd like to join us tomorrow and Thursday, we'd throw out the welcome mat for you to come and be a part of that. You know, the truth of the matter is we need to pray because we believe God wants to do things. We also need to pray to invite him to do things. And so let's stand in the gap during this season and let's believe for resurrection power. When I get through with this series that we're going to talk about, you'll see that when resurrection takes place, it is a powerful, powerful force. And so March 27th is Easter Sunday this year. So let's look forward to all that God is going to do. So let's look again today. We're read the text here out of Galatians chapter 4. And it says in verse number 21, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." So yesterday we talked about the transformation that Sarai had gone through. She had to come to that place where she realized that God was best suited to be in control and not her. One of the things that I say is I thank God that I'm not God. And I also thank God that you're not God. And I thank God that politicians aren't God. And I thank God that judges aren't God. I'm a very thankful man that God is God. I'm thankful that the devil's not God. If the devil was God, we would all be destroyed already. He's a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He never has your best interest in heart. He always operates with deceptive motives. He's dishonest. He's a liar and the father of it. But God never lies. He tells tells the truth. He is holy. He's righteous. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He is all wisdom. He is the counselor. He doesn't just keep his wisdom to himself. He wants to bestow it up on us. He does not just want us to have a written mandate, but he wants us to have a heartfelt relationship with him that generates a willingness to walk in obedience. We serve a holy God that even the angels will declare that he is righteous and true in all his ways. As he bestows mercy and grace and forgiveness upon humanity, he does so with perfect holiness. He never ever compromises his integrity. He always operates in an upright manner. And so I'm thankful that he is the one in control. And so if you ever see a person that they've got to be in control of everything, just begin to pray for them that God would minister to them in such a way that their eyes would be opened, that they too could go through a transformation like Sarai did. Now, her name was changed. So let's get into that today. The passage that we read there in Galatians describes her as a free woman. It describes her as the mother, he of the free woman through promise. She was the one who gave birth to Isaac, who are children of the promise. Cast out, for the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Praise God. She was the mother of the covenant people. And so she was transformed and her name was changed from Sarai, controlling or dominating, to Sarah, which means princess. Now, I want you to understand that princess or a prince was a part of the royal family. There was authority, but they operated as a person under authority. God is not looking for weak-willed people. He is looking for people who will live by faith, who will operate by faith, who will operate under the authority that God has created. And so all of a sudden, Sarah comes and she has a transformation that takes place where she's not the one in ultimate control, but she is part of the royal family. And so when she stepped down off of her throne and assumed her position as the child of the king, her curse was broken and she gave birth to the covenant child, and that is Isaac. We will talk about him a little bit more later. So I want you to know that if you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and be the Lord of your life, that you have been adopted into the household of faith. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have the same inheritance that he does. You are able to call upon your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Jesus was asked by the disciples to teach them to pray, and he says, when you pray, say this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see, my kids, they have access to me pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and in 2016, 366. They can call upon me whenever they'd like, and they will be able to avail themselves of my comfort, my wisdom, my advice, my counsel, my resources, whatever I have. In fact, when we got back a little over a week ago, when we got back on a Friday night, we were in a shopping establishment on Saturday, and my daughter taps me on the shoulder and said, "Dad, look at that guy's shirt in the lane next to you." And I looked over there, and it was a term. Now, it was a term that I heard from my friend Mark Burney down at River of Life, and I heard it, and I used it, and I didn't realize that anybody else had used it. But there was this guy, and he was wearing a shirt, and it said, "The Bank of Dad Credit Card," and how his kids would come to him, and they would treat him like the Bank of Dad. And so I told my kids that, you know, that I was the Bank of Dad, and I was looking forward to a time when they would not have to be availing themselves of many withdrawals from the Bank of Dad as they had made in times past. And so my youngest is getting ready to graduate from college here in just a few weeks. Hopefully she will be finding a job that will be fulfilling and satisfying and meet her financial needs as well. And, you know, so that we can really begin to make progress on the ledger of the Bank of Dad's balance sheet. So thought that was pretty interesting. But as a princess, or as a prince, if you're listening to me today, see, there are a lot of times, can we talk real? There are a lot of times that people who are in the military, once they get out of the military, they end up struggling with the authority of God. They struggle with authority in the church because for all their life, they've had somebody else telling them what to do, where they were going to live, how they were going to serve, what time they were going to get up, when they were going to get to be with their family. They've had all of that stuff, and we've had military families, and one day they got orders and they said, boom, you're going across across the nation, you're going to be at this military base, you're going to be deployed here, you're going to be deployed there. And what I read an article one time, and they said that the reason that one particular state had more retired veterans than any other state was because they didn't want anybody else telling them what to do. And I've seen a number of military people that when they came out, they came into the church and they struggled with the concept of authority, and they said, you know what, for once in my life I'd like to control my issues. Now I want to describe to you what happened when I tried to control my life issues. I made a big mess out of it. In fact, anybody who tries to control their life outside of God, it will not take them long. They will make a mess out of it. If there's a lapse in control where they try and seize control from God, it will not be very long before they make a mess out of everything that God had put together. Sarah, after she was transformed, she realized that she had all of the access to God's resources. And as a result of that, he who is the way, the truth, and the life, he who is the resurrection and the life, became life in her unproductive body. He became life and was able to bring forth a miracle child. He was able to bring forth Isaac, a source of joy and laughter to this people who had experienced so much heartache and pain and loneliness throughout their years. He brought forth supernatural life. And, you know, thank God for the things that are possible naturally. I thank God for the medical breakthroughs that have taken place that bring healing to our body. Last year I had a procedure done, and I can't explain the technology. I was just thankful that it was there, but they shone a laser light into my eye and reattached my retina and to where I can see out of that eye again. I cannot explain that. I don't know how that works. I know how it hurt, but I don't know how it works. And I had a surgeon, a brother in Christ, who cut a few holes in my right shoulder and went in there with some tools and did things inside there that enabled me here a few weeks ago to play golf for the first time in a long time. I don't know how they do that. I don't understand the technology behind it, but I understand that somebody somewhere did understand the process and they created the natural equipment to be able to do that. But I also am thankful that God has supernatural ability, that as a child of God, I can call out to him. He can forgive sins, which nobody thought could be forgiven. And he can bring healing that no man was able to bring healing. You see, my wife has a situation, and we've had her to the experts in the medical field. Some of the top people across the country have gone in and examined her and said, you know what, you have, and they use this, an atypical, what we call what you have is atypical. Well, that just means that it is not normal. But then they went on to say this, we don't have anything that can help you. And when my wife received that news, she was very, very distraught. And I looked her in the eyes and I said, honey, I just want you to understand that all that they told you there is that they do not have the capability. They did not say that God does not have the capability. Now, we haven't seen that healing manifest yet, but we continue to believe that for her. We continue to believe that for one of our children, that the technology does not exist as of this point in time to bring about a natural healing in her body. All she is able to do is endure and live because of the natural technologies, but we continue to believe that we are heirs of a supernatural kingdom, that by his stripes there is healing, and so we continue to prevail. And so whenever we would discuss possible breakthroughs with doctors, the doctors would say, well, that's not going to happen, it's not going to help. And we say, well, we're going to continue to believe because we believe that God wants us heirs of healing. And so when Sarah assumed her role as princess, and when she stepped down off of her throne, her curse was broken and she became a source of life. And Isaac became a source of joy. Now, let me contrast that with Hagar. I'll talk about Hagar here for a few moments. Hagar, like I said on yesterday's program, Hagar had become a bond woman, a maidservant of Abram and Sarai while they were in Egypt. And I've looked up the meaning of her name. I couldn't find meaning to her name in a concordance or online or anything like that, but we do know that she was a slave. And Galatians chapter 4 identifies her son as being a symbol of a covenant of bondage. Now, I want you to understand that God is looking for a covenant of love. He's not looking for us to do things because we have to. He's looking to develop in us a mindset of we are privileged to be able to do something. Do you realize what a privilege it is for us in America to be able to gather together with other saints every week, multiple times a week, and worship openly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you realize that huge portions of the world's population are not granted that privilege? I tell you, they would be scratching their heads. They would be mystified. They would be dumbfounded to find out that people who have been granted this great freedom to assemble do not avail themselves of it. And so if you do not have a church home, if you have not been attending a local church, I encourage you to make your way to the house of God. I want to extend, would you be my personal guest at Merit Assembly of God. We won't embarrass you. We will treat you with honor. We would like to treat you to the presence of Jesus Christ. And so we would love the privilege of introducing our congregation to you. We have some of the friendliest, most mature Christians, and I mean that in a wisdom sense. I'm not just talking about an age sense. We've got people who love Jesus and love people. And so we would like to invite you out. Now, there was a very famous television personality, and they were discussing with a preacher, and this person said, "You are promoting a relationship of bondage. And I don't want to have anything to do with slavery." Now, I need you to understand that slavery in the Old Testament was many times it was because of a prisoner of war situation. Many times it was because of a debt situation. Sometimes it was because of lack of financial support. Whatever it was, God's not into that type of slavery. Okay, He's not looking at people as people owning other people anymore. He's looking for liberty. He's not looking for a people who are in bondage. He says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And so Hagar was a person who she was in bondage. She was not free to just come and go as she wanted. But here's the thing: when Hagar conceived Ishmael, all of a sudden she began to look at disdain and mock her master or her mistress in Sarai. She began to make fun because she had capabilities that Sarai didn't have. And today I want to tell you that if you are looking at your own abilities and you are looking down at other people because maybe they're not as large as you, maybe they're not as wealthy as you, maybe they're not as smart as you, maybe their house isn't up to your standards, maybe their vehicles aren't up to your standards, that if you are looking down on other people because of their condition in society, I want you to know that that is not reflective of a God nature. That is reflective of a Hagar nature. We are not to look down upon other people. We are to look at one another as gifts from God to one another. Your pastor at your church is a gift from God to you, to help you to grow in your faith. Your Sunday school teachers are a gift from God to you, to help you understand and live the Word of God on a regular basis. You are God's gift to your church because you bring unique capabilities under the authority of God that bless this community. You and I are gifts from God to Brevard County because we have been divinely selected and divinely placed and divine timing for divine purposes. Okay, I want you to look at your neighborhood, and I don't want you to look at it and say, "Oh God, I just can't wait for you to get me away from these horrible people." I want you to look at your neighbors and say, "God, I want to thank you that you have placed me here in this community as your ambassador, as your representative, to know that Jesus is still alive and still active." Recognize the giftings that are. And so, you know what? Today I don't have to read the Bible. I get to read the Bible. Today I don't have to pray. Today I get to pray. There are so many people, and they want to reduce everything to a formula. They want to reduce it to a list of do's and don'ts, and they go through life with a mindset of a slave. Now, I want to tell you that you know, we're in an election season here. And I want to remind you what I told you on a previous broadcast sometime back. This goes back years and years, almost 9 years, that from the time that I saw it, that Joseph reduced Egypt to slavery because they looked to him for dependency. And so God does not want you looking to the government. By the way, Joseph took from the people, and then whenever they needed it, he sold it back to them at a price tag, and that price tag, that eventual price tag, was their freedom and their autonomy. The scripture also says this, that the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. And so I pray today that God would set you free from captivity, whether it's in a financial arena, whether it's in a political arena, or if it's in a spiritual arena. I believe that you and I should have a mindset that reflects the child of the promise, Isaac, which is joy and laughter, more than the mindset of a person in bondage, which is hopelessness, despair, and discouragement. Okay? And so, when you read the word, read it with joy. When you pray, pray with joy. Paul wrote, he says, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You and I should have a countenance that reflect people whose burdens have been removed and their shackles have been broken, and we have been set free to go forth leaping as calves released from the stall, that you and I have been blessed by having our debts canceled. It's a year of, you know, the Pope declared that 2016 was a year of Jubilee. Praise God that he did that for the Catholic Church. But I want to tell you this, Jesus declares that every year can be a year of Jubilee. Today can be a day of Jubilee where your debts are canceled and you get to experience the freedom to enjoy your inheritance. See, in ancient Israel, their inheritance was the land. And many times when they would get into financial difficulties, they would sell their inheritance to pay their obligations. And even though they might work for the person they sold it to, they would not get to enjoy the fruits of their inheritance. Today, I want you to know that God wants to cancel your spiritual debt so that you can enjoy the inheritance that we have. And by the way, God told Abraham this, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. He is our inheritance. We are his inheritance. And today I pray that you would get to experience not the burden of bondage, but the joy of covenant relationship with God. Let's close out today's broadcast with prayer, if we could. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that there would be a mind transformation that takes place in us, a renewing of the mind. Lord, that it would not be that we go about each and every day of our life recognizing that we're obligated to do this and we're obligated to do that. And Lord, that we just go through a routine, mundane existence. God, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly, that we might be able to enjoy it to the full. And I pray today we would all realize what a great privilege it is to know and love the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.